Okay, I would like to introduce the first speaker, Jim B., from the Just for Today group of NA in the Butler area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Wow. I'm an addict. My name's Jim. And I'm probably going to do this a little different than what I normally would, mainly because of the fact that the different things that I've been going through here lately. You know, with this being the men's rap and everything that's going on, you know, with my life, you know, this just seemed like a little appropriate. You know, maybe God doing for me what I refuse to do for myself, and that's go ahead and bring stuff out. You know, and that's what this whole program talks about, going ahead and opening up our lives. I seen a shirt over there about the pain. You know, if you share the pain is lessened, or something to that extent, you know. And but before I do that, I got to go ahead and qualify myself. My clean date, or our clean date, is March the 10th of 1994. Okay? So that's, 21 years, 5 months, and some odd days, something like that. Okay? And from the door, you know, I've been involved in service in one way, shape, or form. Right now I'm the RD for the region, so don't beat me up on that one.
Thank you.
But I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff I'm going through, but before I do that, I want to go ahead and give you a little bit of history. You know, growing up, okay, I grew up in with a single mother. Okay, I got a brother that who's in the midst of his addiction right now, and really didn't have any men in the household, so to speak. Okay, so I really didn't have any type of role models to look up to, and I just went about my business. I grew up in Swickley. I don't know how many folks know where that is, but I grew up in Swickley. I know you do, Dennis. Okay, and Swickley, at that time, growing up, it was a place where everybody knew everybody. Okay, you couldn't go anywhere without, if you acted the fool, by the time you got home, your mother knew about it, your dad knew about it, you got your butt whooped and, you know, kept on going. Where I lived at was in fairly white neighborhood, so to speak. And there was a black section further down a few blocks up, you know, Nevin Avenue and all that. But I lived down towards out of that area. So I had white friends, I had black friends. And then in the end, I had no friends, you know. But the thing it is, you know, that gave me like some sort of identity crisis. Okay, I had a lot of friends that I played with, you know, in that neighborhood. I had folks up there in this other neighborhood that I played with, and there really wasn't a whole lot of interaction, okay, with the two neighborhoods at that time. Not, I don't know, for whatever reason. Let's go there, and coming up, you know, there was a lot of, I don't know, some of you guys are a little young to know about speakeasies and stuff like that, you know, but, you know, my aunt, she had a speakeasy, and everybody's congregated over there every Saturday and Sunday, and, you know, they did what they did, okay, they got lit up like a kite, okay, and the men there, you know, they did what they did, you know. And the women there did what they did. And that was my environment growing up. Okay? I didn't, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot of positivity in that particular environment. The neighborhood I was in, it was You know, there was a keg all the time. Okay, go up to the black neighborhood, there was the wine all the time. Okay, so I was like back and forth. There was always some sort of drug or whatever involved in that. So like I said, I didn't have really any real positive role models coming up. So moving forward, I did whatever he did, Dennis did, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, a good chameleon, you know, I was able to go ahead and make the adjustments for whatever group of people I was with. And in doing that, I kind of lost identity of myself. Lost my identity. I didn't know who Jim was. Okay, one day Jim is over here hanging out with folks listening to Led Zeppelin. Next minute I'm over here listening to Zap. Okay? And it got real crazy. And so coming up, I was already on my way close to picking up that first chemical that turned my life around. Because I, you know, speakeasy, you had, yeah, I'm a little kid running around here drinking up all these folks' liquor and doing whatever I was doing. And so moving forward a lot. Okay, high school, I ended up in a predominantly white high school. I don't know if anybody knows anything about Moon Township, but I was up there, and at that time you can count the amount of black people on two hands in that school, in the high school. All right, so I had to deal with all of that. And don't get me wrong, it was cool. You know, the school, that's a good school district. It was a good school district. I don't know about now. But they decided that they didn't want me. Okay? Because of some of the antics that I had, that I did in that school. You know, early on, before things turned real bad, I was making my own hours at school. Something about that, you know, carried over till later on too. So hold on, hold that thought. So, you know, dealing with women and girls at that time, you know, I didn't have any role models to go ahead and adjust to. So I did what I did, okay, and I ran amok, okay. I tried to do just about every little young girl that up there at Moon High School. I tried to do this and I tried to do that. We were out in back of a Shop and Save. We have our bag of weed and little bar up the street would sell beer to anybody. So you go up there and you do come on back, and you know, it was crazy. It really was. Finally, I have to get thrown out of high school. Okay, there was a whole lot of reasons, but I guess inciting a riot kind of tipped the table on that one. So, something about that the school district just did not like, you know, and getting hauled away in handcuffs. And, you know, that was really my first encounter with the police. There was a long story behind that. So this went on. By then, I'm like, the switch has been flicked, so to speak. And I dealt with a lot of different women in a lot of different ways. And in the end, what ended up happening, I'm living in a basement with some woman in somebody else's house, you know, and finally got kicked out of there. Ended up in a crack house, you know. That was crazy. And everything dealt around crack and women. You can guess why, but and it just got real crazy. And finally, I decided I needed a break, and I went into this rehab out here and did the little 28-day thing. And you know, I got out. They told me go to a meeting first thing. Oh yeah, while I was in that rehab, women got involved in that one too. You know the facility, Dennis. Okay, they got the little elevator. You can go ahead and hit the button, do what you got to do, hit the button again, and keep on about your business. Okay, and you know, so a lot of little strange things, a lot of interesting things, and they all centered around women, relationships, okay, or lack thereof. And there really was a lack thereof. I got out of that rehab, and I want to say I was clean or abstinent for maybe about 6 months. You know, they tell you people, places, and things. Okay? Avoid, you know, change them. I know better. I know more than they do. So, right back to Aliquippa, right back to Ambridge, right back to Sewickley. And I think I ended up with my first DUI after that stint. Okay. Something about driving down the street in the middle of the night with no headlights on. Yeah, police don't really like that. So I woke up. I'm in a jail cell. I'm like, oh crap, what did I do now? You know, I ended up paying for that for years behind that because of my lack of responsibility. Okay, you know, there was a whole lot of lack of responsibility going on in my life. I didn't want to be responsible for anything that was going on. Okay, nothing was ever my fault. Okay, anything bad that happened, it was because so-and-so. It had nothing to do with me. Okay, so, but in the end, I still had this little identity crisis going on because I didn't have a clue to who I was. Okay, and it was just like real crazy. So I come in, I go out for about 4 years, and I had a whole lot of craziness, worse than before I even went to the rooms the first time. You know, I did go to a few meetings that first time around, maybe 3, 4. Okay, you know, and that was chasing behind some woman. Okay. So a lot of craziness in my life, okay, dealt with women and lack of responsibility, accepting responsibility. So come up here, go back to rehab again. I'm trying to move this a little bit forward because I don't know how much time I have. So come back into the rooms. I start participating. I started getting involved. I started getting a sponsor who had me start working steps, which is, you know, I didn't have a good understanding of that at the time, but he put his boot in my behind, and he was one of those kind of folks, and they, I don't know, everyone wants to be politically correct now, but it is, you know, sit your ass down. Okay, and so on and so forth. And I needed that because I wasn't about trying to sit down and listen. I always had something I had to say or wanted to say, whether I said it or not. It's irrelevant. So I sat down, I listened, I started working steps, and my life started to change. But always about the responsibility, and always some women involved in that. Okay. In the little town that I got clean in, and it was like crazy. I'm still thinking I'm God's gift to women, so I decided I'm going to go ahead and show the women in this town, you know, just who I am. I ended up with brick put through my living room window. I had a whole lot of consequences. Let's go that direction. My sponsor, he's like, okay. When he saw me, he's like, did you use today? He wasn't talking about drugs. Okay? He wasn't talking about drugs at all. Okay, so finally, he's like, look, sit your butt down right here. We're going to start working steps. This time, it's going to be about your lust issues and your responsibility issues. And we went through the steps on that. That took a while because I really wasn't trying to identify with, I wasn't trying to take responsibility. Okay? I know today it's about taking responsibility for my action. Okay? Right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm understanding today that there's consequences for my actions or inactions, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I have to be able to go ahead and sit back and take a look and say, okay, here goes the consequences. Are you willing to accept those consequences? If I say yes and move forward, then that's my fault. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. If I don't, you know, I sit back, I talk to my sponsor, I go ahead and tell him, and he's like, well, what do you think you should do? If I knew that, I wouldn't be talking to you. Mm-hmm. Well, what are the consequences that are going to be involved with this? Are you willing to accept responsibility? It's something I wasn't supposed, I really didn't want to do. You know, and I take that back all the way back to growing up, because I didn't really have to take responsibility. Everybody around me was drunk. They didn't care what the hell I did. Okay? So, getting up to, you know, after a while, we did that, and I ended up having to make a whole lot of amends to a lot of different people. You know, I stopped going to some meetings. Anybody here from Newcastle? Cool. I quit going to Newcastle. Okay. Now they had a woman's facility there that it was like, I was like a kid in a candy store there, and you know I had to quit going there. Okay. It's about making a change. Okay? It really has been about making a change in my life. I can sit up, I can go to a meeting, give a woman a hug, sit my butt down. That's not to say I won't look. Oh, you look pretty good there. But I don't act out. Now, am I perfect about that? No. No. Are there consequences behind my actions? Definitely. But the difference between then and now is that I'll accept responsibility for my action, and I will go ahead and accept whatever consequences that come my way. All right? So, coming up here now, what's been going on in my life is I've been doing some step work and working on the seventh step for ages now, really. You know, shortcomings, and taking a look at what's been going on over my life in the past, I'll say the past 21 years, and the different things that have come my way, things that I've pushed away, whether it's people, places, things, you know. I really haven't been real comfortable with some of that stuff. You know? What I know in recovery is that things change on a daily basis. I know that some of the things that I was able to go ahead and accept when I had a year clean, I have no business accepting at 10 years clean and definitely 21 years clean. Okay? And I know that that's a progressive thing, you know, and I know that working the steps helps me to work that out in my life. So I'm sitting back, I'm doing this seven-step thing, and so what ends up happening is I start moving into isolation. I start isolating. And this, I'm just now coming out of this, okay? And I'm going back in my mind. I talked to my sponsor. Some of the stuff, some of the reasons why I have been isolating is because of some of the stuff that goes way back from when I was growing up and some of the identity issues. And, you know, you ever go into a room, hundreds of people, and you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's where I was at. That's where my state of mind was. Okay, and still can be, you know, because like I said, I'm just working through this thing now, and but like I said, it goes way back. So talking with my sponsor and dealing with that, you know, and I'm still trying to isolate. I'm still trying to, you know, not really tell people what's going on with me or why I'm doing this and doing that, and it's killing me. Okay, so I'm like, okay, I got to make this change. So I started getting all these phone calls, right? I got a phone call about coming up here to speak. And thank you, Laurel Mountain Highlands, for allowing me to come up here and share. I do appreciate it more so than you can imagine. So now, Laurel Mountain Highlands, I got all these different phone calls out of the blue about coming and sharing. Now I'm thinking, do you know who I am? I mean, why do you want to... My head is so screwed up. Talk to my sponsor. He's like, well, are you going to do it? I'm like, do I have a choice? He's like, no. I said, then why'd you ask me? Okay, but the point being is God doing for me what I wasn't doing for myself. Okay. Getting me out of me, okay, sharing where I'm at today, you know, got a girlfriend, here we go, got a girlfriend, she's not one of us, doesn't even want to be bothered with coming out and doing anything towards recovery, so what do? I'm like, okay, that's cool, so I go all these different places, Some folks that know me know that I'm all over the place, okay? I might be in California, New York, whatever, you know, okay? But she never goes. Opens up the door, okay? I have not been the most faithful person. There's consequences behind that, okay? I haven't gotten all the consequences, but I see stuff coming down the pike really, really fast, like a train just waiting to come down and just smack me. Okay? So I'm working through some of that stuff, and I don't know. It's crazy. It really is crazy. One of the ladies I was talking to, she decided she had enough. She said, you ain't leaving your woman, so why am I even bothering with you? I'm like, I don't know, you know. But I had some other reasons why she should, but they were just her excuses why she could. But that, like I said, that's excuses, okay. And my sponsor, he's like, he's sitting back in the cut, he's watching all this stuff play out, right? So okay, so now what are you going to do? What can I do? I got to go ahead and share about it. I got to go ahead and let that person go. I have to go back and make an amends to this woman because of some of the stuff that I put her through. I have to go back and make an amends to the woman that I'm living with. And that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because she doesn't even realize what the hell's going on. Or so I think. My sponsor's like, you really think she doesn't know what you're doing? The women are smarter than we all give them credit for. Okay. But the thing about it is, I, God do it for me. I need to come up here. I need to go ahead and share about some of this stuff. I need to say that if I don't do it, then the consequences of my actions or inactions could be me picking up. That's the bottom line to that. Okay? Thinking that I'm hip, slick, and cool will go ahead and cause me to pick up. It might not be a drug right away. Okay? But eventually, I can see that. I can see the painting on the wall. You know? I can see how things turn out. I've watched a lot of people go through some of the same things that I've gone through and die. I've probably been to 6 or 7 funerals this year. Okay? From folks picking back up. That's a reality for me. That's okay, that could be me. If I don't do the necessary steps to go ahead and bolster up my recovery, and change the stuff that I'm doing. Like I said, I want to thank Laurel Mountain Highlands because I needed this. I needed to come up here and say, you know what, I'm fucked up. Okay? And I needed to do this in front of a group of men so that they know that, hey, you know, you see me? Come give me a hug or something, you know, because I'm probably going to need it. You know, just because we get a couple days clean does not exempt us from doing some screwed up stuff. It doesn't exempt us from going through some pain. It doesn't exempt us from needing a hug, needing to sit down and talk. You know, I go to my home group. I think I got the most clean time in my home group. Everybody's looking at me, and Dennis got to feel the same way, depending on where he goes, that, you know, you got the most clean time. You're supposed to be Mr. Recovery. Nah. Little bit of clean time does not exempt us. Okay? It's all about change. It's all about sitting down, working the steps, sitting down, talking with my sponsor. It's about going ahead and letting folks know where I'm at today. All right? I wanted to come up here and camp, and I'm like, do I really want to be bothered, this, that, and the other thing? Well, I didn't camp, but I did get up here. Okay? Because one of the things I've learned early on is to follow through with my obligation. If nothing else, I do that. All right? I have to do that. And that's something I need to do anyhow. Like I said, now I got all these phone calls talking about, will you come speak here? Will you come speak there? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? It's about getting out of myself. Okay. I isolate. I stay up in my head. You know, and I have that little subcommittee meeting up here. You know, I'm bound to do some real stupid stuff. Okay? But if I let you guys know, then maybe you'll grab hold of me when you see me doing something real crazy and say, hey, look, that might not be a good idea. You know? That's what this thing about recovery is about. It's about going ahead and picking each other up. It's not about tearing each other down. I see a lot of that in the rooms right now. You know, I sit back, I watch, I'm like, why? You went through the same pain as this person right here. Maybe not in the same way, but why are you tearing this person down? Why? Because maybe they want that person to feel the same pain that they're feeling. I'm not real sure. Okay? But I do see a lot of that. And we can't do that to each other. We really can't. You know, we've gone through a lot of pain, we've gone through a lot of suffering, okay, to get this seat that you guys are sitting in right now. Let's not beat each other up. You know, I see a lot of political stuff going on right now, and a lot of name calling, a lot of this and a lot of that. And for what? We're all trying to do the same thing, and that's stay clean one day at a time. Okay? There are a lot of different ways to do it. Okay? I only do it one way, the NA way. Okay? I'm not trying to tear anybody down. You know, I do enough of that right here. Okay? I do a lot of that right here. Okay? But, I don't know. How much am I done? Okay? I don't know. I just, you know, I go through this spurt. I'm doing this thing. I'm trying to break out of this isolation and trying to go ahead and try to make some changes within my life. And the only way I can do that is to keep talking about it. The only way I can do that is to keep working my steps. Go ahead and get finished with this seventh step before I do some real stupid stuff again. Okay? Or continue. Okay? And move on to the eighth step. Alright? You know, and it's not like I haven't done the steps before. I don't know why it's like I'm stuck on stupid this time. You know, we keep going through these steps for a reason. And sometimes, you know, stuff happens, I guess. And now I'm there. So maybe next time you see me, you'd be like, what step are you on, Jim? Did you get through that step yet? You know? Because like I said, that's what we do. We go ahead and, you know, check on each other. At least we should be. You know, I got sponsees, you know, that I call. You know, they say, well, why are you calling him? Hey, look, he needs some help. Okay, he asked me to be his sponsor. I'm going to call him when he doesn't want to call me. Okay, but that's just me. All right. You know, because he might be going through some stuff like the isolating that I've been doing. He might need somebody to go ahead and pull him up out of there. You know? So, I don't know. I think that's all I got. And I do. If you didn't get anything out of what I was saying, trust me, the gentleman coming up behind me, he got you covered. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Dennis Sage from the Growing Tree Group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Beaver Valley, huh? Thank you. Thank you,
buddy. Eric, name Dan.
It's
good to be here. It's good to be with you guys. This is something I always wanted to do in recovery, was talk at a men's rep. Alright? Always wanted to do that. If you're sitting out there and you want to speak, you want to be the speaker, keep coming back. Someday you will be. And I sat out there, I wanted to be the speaker at the World Convention. I was the speaker at the World Convention. I spoke at the 50th World Convention in San Diego. I represented the United States. It's nice. You know what was one of the best parts about that whole deal, besides it was free? One of the best parts was standing up there on a stage. There was 20,000 people in the San Diego Convention Center. You looked out, all you seen was heads from down that way all the way down to that way. Just a sea of heads, man. All addicts, 20,000. It was awesome. It was really awesome. My clean date 6/28/78. I've been clean for 37 years, 2 months, and I'm working on today. My Earth Day birthday is next Thursday. I'll be 66. I got clean when I was 28. I don't know if I'd have made 29. I might have made 29. It was kind of close. But I wasn't very happy. All right. What I'd like to share with you guys, it's like I really, I'm like an open book today. I really don't care what you know about me in one way, but there's some things I'm not going to share. But there's other things that I am. You know, when I was a kid, I had an upbringing just like everybody else. I was lucky. I had a family. My dad worked. He stayed around. He worked hard. He fed us. I always had food, clothing, and shelter. He was a workaholic dude. He stopped drinking when I was about eight. His dad was alcoholic. He died. I never knew him. He either fell down the steps at work or he was pushed. He was a union organizer back in the 40s. Who knows? My other grandfather, he died when I was in the bag. He was a good guy. One thing my grandfather said to me was, "You're going to be okay." And I had no idea why he said that to me. None. Because I didn't think I was going to be okay. I wasn't okay. But he just looked at me and says, "You're going to be okay." Pop didn't talk to me too much about stuff. He never had a talk to me about how to have sex with women. So I went down to the corner, tried to learn it from the other guys who didn't know. You know? And when you're with the fun, you're only as knowledgeable as what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. And when you're hanging around with people who don't know, you ain't going to learn nothing. So come to Narcotics Anonymous. One thing we do know is how to stay clean. We got lots of experience on that. And we know how to get through some fucking horrific shit clean. We know how to get through some beautiful stuff clean, too. But we know how to get through some horrific shit. Like waking up one morning, finding your kid dead. We can get through that. Alright, that didn't happen to me. But that experience is in Narcotics Anonymous. So, you know, just normal shit. Fear. Some dude tried to kill me when I was 5 with a hatchet. He was just a maniac, man. He was one of the local kids in the neighborhood. He was 2 years old. He was a nut. All right? He was just a nut. At that time, when you were crazy, when you were a nutty kid, what they used to do is they used to send you away to live with the relatives out of state. Okay, so they sent him down to Kentucky somewhere. And he was down there torturing people down there. I grew up in a steel mill town, small town. You only know what you know. Jim was talking about it. I know Swickley probably had like maybe 20 black families, maybe. Maybe, I don't know, 50. There weren't that many. The town I grew up in was like 30% black, 40% black. So it was still a big deal. Race is always a big deal in this country. But it was a big deal, but it wasn't that big of a deal because you was always there. We was growing up together. You was playing, you know, with each other. And then you just got older. That's all. I got a couple sisters and a brother. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she was a nurse. She went back to work. I started getting high when I was 13. Figured everybody else knew what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know that you didn't know either. I learned that by coming here and sitting down in a chair and listening to people come up and tell their story. And you know what? People get up there and say, "I didn't know either." I'm like, "Thank you." Because on the street, nobody was saying that. Everybody was saying, "I do know." So I was saying, "I do know too," but I didn't know. I got good at getting high. I got good at finding ways and means to get more, man. Professional drug user. Or guinea pig, however you want to put it. All right? You put some powder down in front of me, I take it. You could have scraped that off a battery. No way known. But I love getting high because it took away the edge, man. When I wasn't feeling nothing, that's what I was liking. Because the rest of the time, man, I was trying to figure out what was wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Well, I'm here to tell you, nothing wrong with me. Alright? I cannot use drugs successfully, but that don't mean something's wrong with me. That just means I can't use drugs successfully. So I stay away from it. How do I stay away from it? I come to Narcotics Anonymous. That's how I stay away from it. If I don't do that, I could have all kinds of stuff in my life. If I do that, I can't have nothing else in my life. I learned that here. All right? You know, same with Jim. I was trying to like... I don't know what the fuck I wanted, man. I wanted to be okay. That's what I wanted. I just wanted to be okay. And I wasn't okay. And I grew up in the 60s, so, you know, there was a lot of, like, soul searching during the 60s. Nam was, like, blaring. I got drafted. I went to the draft board, told them I was a drug addict. I thought I was lying. Little did I know. Because I wasn't a drug addict, because that's somebody that does $300 worth of heroin every day, which at that time was 50 bags. So if you're doing, if you had a habit of less than 50 bags a day, you weren't really an addict. Okay? Now, nobody told me that. I figured that out myself. All right? We're notorious liars, too. Come in here, how big was your, you know, all we got when we come in here is what we got. Most of that's just bullshit. But, you know, how big was your habit? You know, I used to smoke. Thank God I got clean before crack. Oh, my God. I was in a meeting. Somebody come in, they start talking about smoking coke. I was like, oh, yeah. No, they go, no. You, like, make it. They were talking about freebase and all this other shit. And they said, no, you smoke it. And it gives you the high like shooting coke. I was like, oh, dear. You know what the first thing I thought of was? No tracks. I didn't think about none of the pain. None. I thought, no tracks. Wow. Thank God I didn't go through that. Anyhow, I ended up here. I tried to hook up with a girl. I didn't love her. She didn't love me. It was all right. We were doing the best. We were like two little kids doing the best we could, man, just holding on to each other. We were both addicts. You know, sometimes it was ugly. Sometimes it was pretty. I tried to move away from my habit. It didn't work. You know, I went here and there. I finally ended up with this job, and they sent me to detox. I went to my union, and they sent me to detox. And the guy that took me to detox, I remembered him from my hometown. I'm from a small town, 6,000 people. He used to stand out in the middle of the street and, like, yell up at the sky. He was one of those guys. We used to say, Frankie's talking to the aliens. We used to say he talks to flying saucers. He'd just stand out in the middle of the street and scream. And here he was taking me to the hospital. And you know what I remembered about that ride? He talked to me about the insanity of using, and he had the best shoe shine I'd seen in years. That's what I remember about that. All right. I'd like to tell you that's my clean date, but it ain't. But that's okay. Some of us come in for a landing. We just hit 3-point landing, done. We're done and dusted. This is it. We stay. Some of us bounce in. Bounce a few times. I was a bouncer. I come in. My family was pretty disgusted with me. Look, they didn't know what was wrong either. You know, one time I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I need help. I got a drug problem. You know, there wasn't no help available. Can you believe that shit? He couldn't find any. He went through the phone book. He talked to people. He couldn't find any help. You know how he must have ended up feeling? His son came to him. Said, Dad, I'm fucked up. Help me. And he couldn't help me. Man, if my son come to me today and said that and I couldn't help him, I'd want to hurt somebody. I'd just be enraged, man. So, you know, when you don't get help, you just go back to what you do. You do what you do. So, but I went to a meeting, man. There was no Narcotics Anonymous in Western Pennsylvania at that time. So I went to this meeting, and actually at my first recovery meeting, I went into convulsions. They said I helped everybody there. Nobody wanted what I had. But I could tell you, I make a joke about this, but I could tell you, because I know there's some people out there have been through some similar experiences as I have. I went into convulsions one time from doing too much meth, too much crystal meth. And when you do too much crystal and you go into convulsions, you're awake. And you're like flopping around like a fish out of water. And it's pretty scary. But when you go into them from drinking too much or doing too many barbiturates, you like pass out and you don't remember. You just wake up all weak. So like I recommend the alcohol barbiturate route rather than being aware of what's going on with you. So if you got to choose that one. I went to some meetings. I went to a halfway house. I I was different. I wasn't like you guys. You guys were losers. You even stood up in front of meetings and told me you were losers. And all the guys back that I grew up with, now they were tired of me too. These are my guys. Some of you went through what I went through. I got high with people that I went to kindergarten with. You know what I'm saying? I got years later. There's some of them are still alive today. They're still using. It's like a miracle. One of my boys just died though this summer, man. Walt. He was couch surfing for the last 30 years. Couch surfing. You know, he comes to your house, sleeps on your couch, goes to somebody else's house, sleeps on their couch, surfs couches, 30 years. He's one of the best looking guys I've ever met. Women were slobbering to be with this guy. I wanted to be him for sure. He couldn't get clean. He just passed. His suffering's over. Anyhow, some guys knew about Narcotics Anonymous, and so they started a meeting. And I remember this one guy, he says, we're going to start a meeting. It was in May of 78. He goes, we're going to start a meeting. I was like, he says, are you going to come? I was like, yeah, I'll be there. So I seen him next week. He says, we're going to start a meeting. You going to be there? I go, yeah, I'll be there. Then I saw him the next week. He said, we're going to start a meeting. And finally, I started thinking, what's wrong with this mother? What's wrong with this guy? I told him I'd be there, but see, I was coming in and out all the time. So he had to keep reminding me. Because when you go back out, it affects you. It has a bad effect. I already felt like a loser. Now I couldn't even stay clean. I thought staying clean should be easy. If you want to do it, you just do it. Well, it takes help. And I guess at a men's wrap, help is a four-letter word to a lot of guys. But it's a sweet word. That word is sweet. Everybody wants to be the helper. Here, let me help you. Let me be the one that helps you. Well, sometimes I got to let you help me too. Otherwise, you don't get to feel what I'm feeling right now. Right? So they started that meeting. I went to it. I had one day. And I'd like to tell you that's my clean date, but it ain't. Okay? But I did get a clean date. It was June 28th. And what I say is get a day, protect a day. Get a day, protect a day. I don't care if y'all go out. I ain't going with you. Not today. I can't do it. My brain's crisp. It's quick fried to a crackly crunch. My brain's in bad shape, man. When I use, I'm liable to do anything. I mean, you just, anything. Anything. I ain't got no morals. I fuck a baby. I kill a baby. I kill your grandma. I don't give a fuck. I got no morals. Something. This shit broke me. I'm broke. This is my hope shot here, Narcotics Anonymous. And I can tell you, my experiences, it's been good to me, man. It's been good to me. I've had a life I can't even believe. 37 years? You gotta be kidding me. I thought I'd at least be perfect after 10. 10 years is a long time, right? It's like two handfuls. Oh, shit, I ought to be perfect by 10. 10's good. 10's a long time, but it ain't that long. 20's a long time, but it ain't that long. 30's a long time, but it ain't that long. 37's a long time, but it ain't that long. Now, I got a lot of experience. Get a sponsor. If you don't mind me saying it, I hope you guys don't mind me talking to you this way. I don't mean to disrespect you. I respect you. I respect you. I don't mean to disrespect you, but I would suggest that you get a sponsor if you don't have one. Sponsor somebody that's going to help you with the 12 steps. You ain't even got to like him. He might be a douchebag. Fuck it. You need help. My first sponsor was kind of a D-bag. But that dude was big on H&I. He was a big H&I guy. He used to go down to this nut house. I think it was Dixmont. Not Dixmont. It was that one down by Bridgeville, Mayview. Just go down to Mayview every Tuesday. Didn't make a big deal out of it. Never went to any of the dances. He goes, somebody needs to keep the meeting open. You guys go to the dance. I'll keep the home group open. He taught me a lot. Quiet. Dude flew under the radar, man. But he'd do all these D-bag things. People talked about him, too. That guy's a D-bag. I said, he got some qualities, though. Hey, my time's up. All right. I've got instincts that I am powerless over. I'm powerless over my instincts. They're not good or bad, they're just instincts, and I'm powerless. I'm heterosexual. That don't mean shit. Just means I'm attracted to women. And when a girl drops or leans over to pick something up, I look straight down her dress. It's just instinct, man. You got 10,000 years. You trying to fight off 10,000 years of this shit. Ain't happening. My two big things is the will to live, survival, and reproduction. One, two. I'm powerless. It's okay. It don't make me a bad guy. For years I tried to think that made me a bad guy. You should quit looking. How am I going to quit looking? It's fucking in my DNA. How am I going to quit? I can't quit. It's okay. I don't have to go to phase two, though. Right? I ain't got to take it to phase two. Just look, go, ugh. Don't want to do that. Because I don't want to go into the fantasy mode of me and her and this and that. Because it ain't happening anyhow. Because I got a wife that I love dearly. I love the shit out of my wife. I don't give a fuck if nobody else likes her. She's fucking awesome. I'd rather be with her right now. It's okay. And me and her are different too, man. I'm like real clingy. I want to play all the time. She's like, give me some space. Give me some space. But that's okay. When she wants to play, man, it's all good. All good. We've had four children together. They're raised now. The baby's 27. He quit carrying a gun. Thank God. I found a gun. So what are you doing with this? He says, I was living in a bad neighborhood. Dude, give me that. Just move. Don't buy a gun. Move. Get out of that neighborhood. I got three daughters. They're all doing okay. Nobody's in jail. Nobody's addicted right now. It's all good right now. It's all good right now. The other thing is my awareness. So I got my instincts I'm trying to work with, but I got my awareness through working the 12 steps. So I'm aware that I have a higher power today. I have a higher power, and I call it the Father of all things, the spiritual Father of all things. And what I pray is, Father, let me be part of you as you are part of me. And then I look for the me and the we, and I look for you guys. I look for you guys in my higher power. I said, my higher power got me inside, then everybody else got a shot too at being part of that spiritual thing. So we're all spiritual beings, so I got to respect you. And I got to try not to hurt you. But sometimes my instinct gets in the way. So as soon as I can get out of my instinct mode, I'm going to get over into my program mode. But there's a gap in there sometimes. Sometimes the gap's little. Sometimes the gap's big. I just got to do the best I can. But I got a program. I got to always refresh my program. It's like RAM memory in your computer. You always got to refresh it. It's dynamic RAM. It ain't static for those geeks out there. It ain't static. You don't freeze it. You got to refresh it. And I refresh that through the literature. The literature is what gives me my instructions. I see myself in the literature. I see myself. When we read the readings at the meetings, I see myself there. And I carry the literature inside of me. I'm the walking literature. I am, man. I got it in me. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And I got the fellowship. You guys. Remember getting busted when you was all alone? You know how it feels when you have to go face something today that's hard? Something hard. Just anything hard. I don't care if it's with your boss, court, whatever. You got your hand caught in a cookie jar. Whatever it is. Something hard. And you could like look out of the corner of your eyes. I could be somewhere doing something hard. And you know what I see out of the corner of my eyes? I see you guys. You know how it feels to have 50 boys in your gang? It's pretty fucking solid. You ain't facing it alone. You got all your boys right there with you. And you're going to face the shit. And you know what? Even if they kick the shit out of you, your boys are going to carry you off like the king. Well, that's fucked up, man. How can you beat that? But I got to keep coming to meetings, right? I got to keep coming to meetings so I don't forget that. I don't forget that I got a connection with a God of my understanding. I don't forget about the literature. I don't forget about the fellowship. I don't forget that I got instincts that I'm powerless over. It's okay. I got something to work on. If I don't keep coming back, I won't remember that. Peace.